Good evening. I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 15 this evening. Genesis 15. I'm reading from the NIV. Genesis 15, beginning at verse 1, says this. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who is to inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so my servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I shall gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abraham brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and ill-treated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking brazier with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, To your descendants I will give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Let's just pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that we can gather in your name tonight and look at your word. And I just want to pray, Father, as we just look at some of these verses that I've just read, that Father, you'll help us to understand them, that Lord, your Holy Spirit would be here to help us to apply them to our lives, Lord, where they need to be, Lord. I pray, Father, you just come and speak to us. We want to hear from you. So Father, come and have your way amongst us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just really glad I managed to read all those names at the end. Forgot about those. I should have got someone to read it for me, but there you go. In Genesis chapter 15, we find one of the most important verses in Scripture. One of the most important verses in Scripture I've just read. And we're going to look at that in a few moments' time. But we want to sort of just think about the story so far. We've been looking at the story of Abraham, or Abram as he's called. I'm always going to call him Abraham tonight, forgive me. But we've been looking at the story of Abram. And throughout the last few weeks, and we found that God has called this man, Abraham, to go to a place that God is going to show him. So he doesn't know where he's going, but Abraham packs up his stuff and off he goes. And that in and of itself is quite amazing, isn't it? You know, sometimes God doesn't give us all the details for things. He just tells us to do one thing at a time. And as we're faithful to that one thing, he reveals something else. And Abraham leaves the Ur of the Chaldeans to go off to this land that God will show him. He takes his nephew Lot with him, And as we sort of heard last week, you know, Lot's gone one way, Abraham's gone the other, and we find that Lot gets in trouble, and Abraham has to go out and rescue Lot and save him. He becomes the sort of hero of the day. And at this point, after we heard last week, after Abraham had won this victory over these nations and saved Lot, we come to Genesis 15, and it begins by saying, after this. So after all these things had happened, we're going to find out what's next in store for Abraham. And in verse 1 here, it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. And as I read that, one of the things that came to my mind was, what is he to be afraid of? He's just had this great victory. He was the hero of the day. He saved Lot. God's on his side. He's leading him on. He's got great possessions and wealth. He's doing okay. So what is he to be afraid of? As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about us as well sometimes. You know, when we sort of say we're okay, but we're really not. I don't know if you do that sometimes. You know, we say, well, I'm doing okay. Especially in church, we rely mainly in church, don't we, to each other. Everything's okay. Outwardly, things look okay. We look like we're doing well. I said to someone this morning as I was talking to her, you seem to be doing really well. She said, yeah, but you can't see what's going on the inside. And that's true, I can't. And I just wonder how many of us here tonight might look all right on the outside, but inside we're afraid. Inside there's something we're struggling with. There are things that we're anxious about and worried about, and yet we try and hide it. You know, I reckon we've all got things we're scared of and anxious about and worried about. I don't know if it's because we're Christians, we feel we can't just be honest and share with each other, you know. Have you ever had someone, you know, you've gone up to them and said, are you okay? And they've actually really shared with you how they feel, rather than just saying, I'm all right, I'm okay, yeah, I'm doing all right. And they've really just sat you down, and for the next half an hour, they've offloaded everything onto you. And you've said, Lord, why did I ask that question? I wonder if that's happened to you. It doesn't happen very often, because we don't share. But inside, we can be afraid. Are you tonight afraid? I think as we look at these verses tonight, we can have a great confidence in God that will help us overcome some of those fears that we have. It says, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. I am your shield. You know, we think of a shield is something that protects, doesn't it? You know, shield, when you go into war, you have a shield before you to protect you. You know, if people are sort of firing things at you and throwing things at you, the shield protects you. God is our shield. God protects us. God keeps us safe. You know, there's far more that could come our way if God wasn't protecting us. I hope you realize that. You know, if these angels weren't doing battle on our behalf, what would our life really be like? God is our shield. And he says to Abraham, I am your very great reward. I love that because, you know, it doesn't mean what I think some people might take it to mean. I'm your very great reward. Like, you know, think of prosperity teaching and stuff like that. Well, God's my great reward because look at my big flash car, my big house, and, you know, everything I have. You know, look at that. That's God is my great reward. No, no. God himself is our great reward. If we had nothing in this world apart from God, that's more than enough. He's our great reward. Is the rewarder of those who sort of follow him by faith, those who sort of cling to him when you're struggling. God is our great reward. And God is trying to reassure Abraham here in a vision. Do not be afraid, I am your shield, your very great reward. And then we get a clue of what Abraham is worried about. He says in verse 2, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. I have trouble saying that word, heir. I think it's because I'm from Yorkshire. I want to say heir. Heir. Just heir, not heir. I'm trying to pronounce the H. Anyway, Eliezer of Damascus will be the heir. He's worried. Not hair. Anyway, whatever it is, Eliezer of Damascus is the man, according to Abraham. What's going on here? You know, in the ancient Near East, in the time when Abraham lived, having someone who was going to inherit all your possessions was a major thing. You know, I don't know if... put your hand up if you've already done your will. Anybody here done your will? Oh, you good people, yeah. I've just started thinking about that this year. Now I'm a little bit older. I don't think my father-in-law has. He definitely should be thinking about it. As he's not because I think he's going anywhere, but I'm just thinking of what he's going to let... mess he's going to leave us if he doesn't do it. But for Abraham... It's really important that he has someone that's going to take hold of all his possessions and everything he owns when he dies. And he's anxious about this because he's got no child of his own to give the possessions on to. So what he's done is, and what was permissible is, he's found someone in his household, maybe a servant, maybe Eliezer was a servant of Damascus, and he said to Eliezer, "You will inherit all my stuff when I'm gone." But you can see he's a little bit afraid about that, he's a little bit anxious about that. He would love to have his own child. Abraham says to God, "You, God, have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." You have given me no children. Isn't it interesting, the worldview that Abraham has? Just think, he's come from worshipping many gods to this one true God, and already he's saying, "You have not given me any children." Where do the children come from? According to Abraham, God, it's you that gives children. He notices something about God, that God is sovereign. God determines what's going to happen. We've lost a sense of that in our world today, haven't we? We're probably over many years, we've lost a sense of that because of scientific sort of discoveries and things that we can do now. You know, you sometimes hear people say, "Well, you know, I don't have any children, so I want to find another way to have a child." Now, I don't want to get into all that tonight, but the reality is, you know, sometimes God doesn't allow things for a reason. He does allow things for another reason. In Abraham's mind, "I haven't got any children because, Lord, you've not given me any. You are sovereign. You are God. You've determined that I don't have any children." And so Abraham's anxious about this. Then the word of the Lord came to him. "Eliezer will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." What a promise. What a promise from God to Abraham. Abraham couldn't create a son for himself any more than he could count the stars that he was looking at in the sky. But God can do anything. God can do anything. We know that in our heads, don't we? We know that God can do anything, but do we know it in our hearts? Do we know it in our lives that God can do anything? We worship a God of the impossible. How good was it this morning to hear Pastor Phil stand up and talk about a gift we got that covered what we needed? Just amazing. And the reason you guys don't get excited about that is because you're English. And you don't do excitement. For in Egypt, they'd be bouncing up and down worshipping God now for that. But how amazing, we have a God that can do more than we ask for and hope. And this is what God is trying to teach Abraham. He's saying to Abraham, "You can trust me. You know, I can do these things. I can show you the stars of the sky and promise you, beyond a shadow of doubt, that your offspring, your descendants will be more than these. I can do that. So shall your offspring be." And in verse 6, we have one of the most important verses in the whole Bible. "Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." It's one of the most important verses in the Bible. And we find this episode and what Abraham said there in other places in the Bible. The Apostle Paul devotes the whole of Romans 4. It wouldn't have been Romans 4 to him, it's Romans 4 to us. But a long discourse there all about Abraham's faith at this point. He speaks about Abraham in Galatians. The writer to the Hebrews talks about Abraham's faith. The book of James talks about Abraham's faith. This is what Paul says in Romans 4 verses 1 to 3. He says, "What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter. If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." as righteousness. Paul had discovered something that he was missing when he still wasn't a Christian, when he was still a Pharisee. He discovered that actually what pleases God is faith, and faith alone. You've heard these few verses before as well from Ephesians 2. They were really special to me when I first became a Christian, when I read them. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. God calls us to have faith in him. Yesterday, I was in Stockport for most of the day. I was at the first ex-Jehovah's Witnesses for Jesus Day. And it was great being with guys there who've come out of the Jehovah's Witnesses and found faith in Jesus. And we had a rather lengthy, really lengthy, testimony time. And what was amazing is these people were getting up, and nearly everyone that got up and shared their journey cried. And that made you cry. And it's still painful. I just remember one guy getting up yesterday. He'd been in the Jehovah's Witnesses 38 years. And he discovered grace. And he told his story. He said he had a dream one night. He was already troubled by a few things, questioning some of the things he'd been learning for 38 years in the Watchtower Society. And in a dream, God just said this to him, said, John chapter 5, John chapter 5, John chapter 5. And he got up the next day, and he read through John chapter 5. And in there, he read of someone who'd been ill for 38 years, and who Jesus had set free. And he just thought it was like God's words to him. And he said at that moment, it's like just sort of the chains fell away. And they found the grace of God. And they discovered what it was to have a God that loves them just as they are. Just as they are. Don't need to work to please God. We can't do anything to please God. We can't do anything to earn his favor. It's all by faith. We trust in him. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, justified, made right with God through faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And to hear testimony after testimony, you used to hear people saying, now I have peace rather than stress. Now I'm assured of a salvation instead of hoping and pleasing this God, Jehovah. And it was just amazing to hear that it's by faith alone. One of the guys did a little talk on how amazing is grace yesterday. And it was just so powerful. And again, you know, for me, sat there as a Christian in many years, just to be reminded again that it's all about grace. That God, it's just so simple. I think it's just so simple the witnesses can't see it. People can't accept it. It's just so simple. We trust God, put our faith in Christ. It's by grace alone. It says here, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Verse 7 and verse 8. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I shall gain possession of it? Don't you find that really strange? That God has just said to him, you're going to have your own child. He's 100. As Pastor Phil reminded us this morning, he's like 100. His wife's 90. You're going to have this child. And Abraham believed him. He said, okay. And then God says, I'm going to give you some land and you're going to possess it. And then Abraham goes, but how's that going to work? He has no problem believing the baby bit, but he struggles with the land bit. How does that work? Let's carry on reading. In verse 9. So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer and a goat and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abraham brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. What on earth is going on there? What is going on? He's got these animals, he's cutting them in two. Just lying them out on the floor. Well, what's going on here is something known as a blood path walk. And normally it's a contract between two people, which assures that both parties will uphold their end of the bargain. We hear the word covenant a lot when we in church, don't we? We're talking through scripture and stuff. And what's happening is God is making a covenant with Abraham. And what's going to happen is they cut these animals in two, the blood is flowing in the middle, and both parties are supposed to walk down the middle. And when they're sort of walking down, it's like a gesture to say, if you break your covenant, this is how you're going to end up. So it's quite a serious thing, making a covenant with someone. The blood path walk. If you don't fulfill your end of the deal, what's happened to these animals will happen to you. Abraham said, how can I know that I shall gain possession of this land? So God makes a covenant with Abraham. You know, when we celebrate communion in church, we remember the new covenant. We remember the words of Jesus. He said this in Luke 22:20. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. It's through blood again that we make a covenant and agreement with God. And what God is doing here, again, is reassuring Abraham. I am with you. I'm going to keep my promises to you. You can be sure of that. Things are going to work out. Everything I've promised you, everything I'm saying to you is going to happen. And just as he was saying that to Abraham, in Christ's death on the cross of Calvary, he's saying that to us. We don't have a God that changes his mind. You know, we have a God that assures us that when we put our faith in Christ Jesus, when we trust in the blood of Jesus, that everything he promises in the future will come to pass. He doesn't let us down. We will work our way through this life, journey through this life, and if our faith is in Jesus at the end, we will go into an eternal future, eternal life with God because of Jesus and the covenant he made on our behalf. And for our part, it's just having faith. So simple. So simple. Are we really trusting Jesus? Are we really putting our faith in him? So Abraham's done as God has said. He's brought these animals. He's cut them in two. He's put them on the ground. The blood's flowing between them. What happens then? Verse 12. As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and ill-treated 400 years. But I will punish the nation that serves as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Abraham falls into this deep sleep, and it says a thick and dreadful darkness comes over him, and then God speaks to him, and God tells him future things. And he says, your descendants are going to have a tough time. They're going to be in slavery. They're going to be mistreated. But they will come out with great possessions. And we know, because we know more of the story, talking about Egypt, being slaves in Egypt. And isn't it great just watching that clip tonight of what's going on in Egypt? You know, we can be so narrow in our Christianity and in our thinking, can't we? You know, we're concerned with what's happening in our nation, and rightly so. And we're concerned and worried and get anxious about those things. But you know, God is working all over the world. We need to open our eyes. We need to see some more of that kind of stuff. We need to hear more reports of what God's doing in other lands. Because God is working. And how amazing. You know, and it does put us to shame, doesn't it? This guy's there like, well, we used to have 200 at our prayer meeting. As if that's bad. You know, we used to have 200, and then we've got 400, and 600, and 800, and 1,000, and 1,200, and 1,400. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Guys, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. We need to be desperately seeking God's face. We need to be crying out to him. We need to be seeking him for all kinds of things. You know, it's good to pray that these politicians will, you know, maybe change their mind, or, you know, policies will be changed and stuff like that. But what they need is a change of heart. You know, what we need is a change of heart in this country. for individuals' hearts to be changed. Because once they come to the Lord Jesus and they have a heart change, then their whole life and everything they think about will change. And then those issues will dissipate. Because we're following Jesus and trusting in Jesus. God reveals to Abraham the future. What's our future? Yeah, I really don't get too worried about some of these things I read. It annoys me, but I don't really get worried about it because I think, you know, for us, we should keep our eyes on Jesus and keep following him. And history shows us time and time again that when the church is put down and when Christians are persecuted, God seems to do something in that situation. And I'm excited for what he's going to do as it gets tougher for us, more difficult for us in this nation of ours. We keep faithful to him, keep crying out to him, and he'll deliver us. He will do what he wants to do. God is God over all things, whether our politicians believe it or not. Whatever the nation says, whatever the popular nation says. I saw a little video clip. Somebody sent it to me. I think it was last week or something. You've heard of Piers Morgan, haven't you? Yeah, don't like him. He's an Arsenal fan for a start, which is messy. It's not good. But anyway, but Piers Morgan was having a debate. He had some kind of celebrity. I don't know who she was. She must be an American celebrity. And she was on there. He was talking to her about her wanting to be married to her lesbian life partner. And she was an advocate that it should be marriage. Should be marriage. And there was a young guy in the audience who very articulate. He must have been about, I don't know, maybe about 30-ish. Very articulate, very sort of quiet way. Just said why they shouldn't do it. And he made it into nothing to do with religion or anything. He made it all to do with just, you know, just the fact that it's just not right. And he was really, really clear. And he really took Piers Morgan up, which made me really pleased, because Piers didn't know how to react to him, really. But what he did is, because this is what these guys do, Piers, he said, because this guy said, we've had this, what do they call it? When you get people to sign up everything. Petition, that's it. A politician in my head. I thought it's not one of those. This petition, he said, we've got this petition. Look, people are saying all this lot. And this woman turned around, and then Piers Morgan joined in and said, well, it don't matter how many names you've got on there. Society says you're wrong and you're bigot. What do we think, audience? And then the whole audience were like, yeah, all against this guy. And he just stood up for what he believes to be true. He is a Christian. But amazing. You know, we just need to keep firm and true to God's word. And, you know, what people decide around us, well, that's up to them. But one day they'll have to speak to God about the decisions they make. God gives Abraham a glimpse into the future. He tells them about how his descendants are going to be slaves in Egypt, but they're going to come out at the end and get into the promised land. And the promise to Abraham is, you will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. So don't worry, Abraham. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about the things that you're worrying about. Just trust me. I've made a covenant with you. It's going to be okay. And those are words we need to hear when we think about our relationship with God through Jesus and the covenant Jesus made in shedding his blood. Don't worry about things. Things are going to be okay. I know what's happening. I know your situation. I know what's going on. Don't be afraid. You're going to be well if you put your trust in me. And then we have, just in closing, it's a very strange verse. Verse 17. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking brazier and blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. And then he says all those names that I'm not going to read again. What on earth is going on there? What's all that about? You know, as I was saying about the blood path, the walk through, the pieces, the animals that have been cut in two in the blood. Normally there'd be two parties that would walk through that. Say I was making an agreement with you, Adam. We were agreeing on something. We would both walk through that together, make an agreement together. That if we didn't keep to our covenant, we would end up cut in two, just like that. What we find here is Abraham's in a deep sleep. He's not going to go through the animals. He's not going to cut covenant with God. It's not going to happen. What you find is, with this imagery of a smoking brazier and blazing torch, is that God is going to go through that covenant. It's almost like he's making a deal with himself to keep the promise. And what's really good about this is that follows on then through future covenants and through the new covenant with Jesus. Because it's all about God, it's not about us. You know, because we do mess up, don't we? We do make covenants with God. We do say, God, I'm going to follow you with all my heart. I'm not going to let you down. And then the next minute we let him down. You know, we're sinners saved by grace. And the covenant that God is establishing here with Abraham is a covenant from God to Abraham. It's like a gift to him. And Abraham's faith in what God is saying is what's going to establish the covenant with him. So it's not about Abraham. It's about God. God is the only one who's taking this oath. And so Abraham's secure in the promises of God. The covenant is established entirely on God's faithfulness. What it is for us to know God's faithfulness. What it is for us to know how much God loves us. What it is for us to know how much God's grace just covers the stuff in our life. You know, we're just blessed to know him. To know that we can't work for our salvation. To know that if we mess up big time, you know, God forgives us. We come before him and say, God, I'm just sorry. Messed up again. God says, I've got it covered. It's okay, I've got it covered. What an amazing God we have. What an amazing relationship we have this with this God of the universe who created all things, and he loves us so much that it's just about him making a covenant with us and saying, you guys can chill out. That's one of the things that really came across with the JW guys yesterday. Every testimony was, I was busting a gut trying to please this God. I was knocking on doors all day long. You know, I was anxious and worried, am I pleasing him? I was trying to keep up appearances in the kingdom hall, trying to please them, you know, make it look like everything's okay. What a sham that is. Because for us, we can rest in Jesus. We can be assured that everything's going to work out. And in Genesis 15 here, God makes a covenant with Abraham. And he says, Abraham, my promises are sure. You're going to have a son. You're going to have descendants. You're going to have that land. Things are going to work out for you. You just rest in me. What's it like for us at the moment? Do you rest in Jesus? We're resting in God, trusting him for all things. Are we anxious about things? Worried about things? Listening to the devil's voice, which just gets in every now and then and says, God don't really love you. God won't forgive you for that. So you believe in God and there you are being anxious and worried about those things. All those little voices that come. We just come before God and say, God, I just give myself fully to you. It's all about him and what he's done for us. So let's put our hope and our trust in him. And let us, as we think it's Pentecost today, let us go out and live by the Holy Spirit. It's not about us striving, it's about living in tune and step with the Holy Spirit. And allowing him to work through us to draw people into this wonderful kingdom, this wonderful relationship we have with the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing a closing song together. And I've chosen In Christ Alone because ultimately that's what it is. It's in Christ alone that our hope is found. It's nothing else. We need to share that with people, don't we? Let's stand together to sing and then I'll close in prayer.